See, I'm going to tell you a little something that's been on my mind for a while now, really. Ever since I've been coming up in here, I know that my kids get tired of hearing it every day. These words that be coming out of my dirty ass mouth. I use that four-letter word all parts of the day behind closed doors. I see Russ looking at me hard there and serious. I know that some of y'all do it also. I'm not the only one. So don't be looking at me like y'all on me saying it. Because I can look out into the congregation and I see some of y'all looking anxious, looking a little sketchy in your seats. Like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. See, people hold us clergy to some higher standard. But we're human just like everybody else. See, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I want you all to know it. And I've used the word quite a few times in my life, even before I was a clergy member. And I still do. And probably when I leave from here today, I'm going to use it again. And I know for a fact I used it last night, at least while when they was awake. I don't know what they remember. Well, I was trying to wrap this sermon up because I just wanted it to be right for y'all. So I'm going to call y'all out. And I have a stone and I'm not afraid to throw it. I'm not afraid to cast it in the glass house. See, some of y'all might know what I'm about to talk about. The topic of my sermon today is love. I say it to my children regularly, even when they test me. And it's something that enough people don't prioritize enough in their lives. Love. Now, what a strange little word. It's one of those few four-letter words that you can use in public without getting a clap from your parents or a funny look from somebody else, but it has a lot of power. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines love as one, a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. Two, attraction based on sexual desire, affection, and tenderness felt by lovers. And three, affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interest. And those are just a couple of the definitions. It was like half a page long. You see, there are four types of love that we're told about. There's eros, which is an erotic, passionate love. It's the love that is based upon sexual attraction. There's philia, which is the love of family and friends. It's a brotherly kind of love. There's storge, which is the love that a parent has for their children. And then there's the love that I want to talk to y'all about today. It's called agape, AGAPE, which is considered the love of mankind. It's modeled after the love of God that He has for us and for the love that mankind should have for Him. It's the love that is given, whether it's returned or not, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a selfless kind of love. It's the kind of love that is a part of the process leading to forgiveness. The Bible says that we're to love one another. That's the type of love that agape love is. You heard it a little while ago when I said the summary of the law, when Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what you also need to focus on is the fact that at the end of the summary, we say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That means that love will, and is the foundation and the basis of being able to follow the Ten Commandments. See, the concept of love is really simple once you open your mind to it and wrap it around that. See, let me give you a few examples. If someone loves their neighbor, they won't commit adultery with the neighbor's spouse. Hopefully. If you love your coworker, you won't lie to them. If you love your enemy, you won't slander them. Love fulfills the law because we truly love every person because he or she is our brother and sister in Christ. Then we won't feel the need to hurt them. And as a result, we won't break the laws that we were given. See, love must be an important word and emotion that God wants us to feel, that he wants us to spread to one another, because it's mentioned 610 times in the Bible, 260 times in the Old Testament. Either love, loveth, loved, 261 times in the New Testament, and then 89 times in the Apocrypha. Love is a powerful theme in the Bible because the Bible is our ruling guide in life. It tells us what God did, what he did in the beginning, what he created, and what he had to do in order to bring us back into that fellowship of love. We're told in the Bible how we're to love, who we're to love, what our love for God should be, and more importantly, God's love for us. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it lets us know that out of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of them is love. What is it about love that brings out all of these funny feelings when we hear the word? Some people say they feel like they have butterflies in their stomach, that they feel confused, that they can't sleep. And some say they feel as if their heart's about to burst out of their chest. God loved us not because we had something to give him, but because he had something to give us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomever believeth in him, yes, I know, I'll say it correct up there, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. This is John, paraphrased, John 3:16. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. God loved us so much that he showed his love and his mercy to us in the person of his son, Jesus. You don't do that for somebody unless you really love them. God didn't send his son down here to rain down fire and brimstone on us because we were sinful. He sent Jesus to us so that we would be cleansed by that most precious blood, so that we could be made clean again and put into a position to accept the love again. When we're filled with God's love, we can see, do, and understand things that we couldn't otherwise do. When we're filled with God's love, we can forgive others when they hurt us. It's that moment when the Holy Spirit fills us with another one of God's divine feelings and blessings. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love each other, and this love is brought together in the unity of the Trinity. 1 John 4, 12 tells us that even though no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, then God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. God's love is not a joke, and we shouldn't ever take it as one. In Strength to Love, Martin Luther King Jr. encouraged us to realize that our responsibility as Christians is to discover the meaning of this command and seek passionately to live it out in our daily lives. Love must be sincere. It has to be real. Not this fakeness that surrounds us every single day of our lives, in which people walk around with smiles on their faces saying, "How are you doing?" When we know that they don't care about us like that, it's like they're just asking out of tradition and not even caring about the response. They're leaving before you can even open up your mouth to say, "Oh, you know, I'm sad. Oh, my child graduated." See, I'm quite sure that I'm not the only one that noticed this. That's a very serious problem that we're facing, and it's a very scary one. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, love one another, just as I have loved you. You must also love one another." And that was in John 13, 34. It's also written, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," in John 14, 15. The Apostle Paul goes in to tell us, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. In Romans 13:10. Now, I don't know if some of y'all are as old as me, but there was a show that used to come on TV, and they were called Reading Rainbow. And there was this, the star, I'm going to say the star of the show, was LeVar Burton. He used to say, "You don't have to take my word for it. I want y'all, if any time you have any confusion, when I give you a scripture and you're not sure how to apply it, I want you to take note of the scripture and go look it up." I come once every 2 weeks if they're saying, "I don't understand it still," and you fully don't understand it, or you still don't. Ask Linnea to send me an email, and I'll shoot it back, or I'll come loaded with that to address. Because the Bible isn't written in some ancient hieroglyphics or something that you have to take a class as clergy to understand. It was created as a testament of the love that our Father in heaven has for all of us. And it's available to all of us. There's so many different versions of it out there that if you don't understand one, You can turn to another. And through the miracles of cell phones and computers, you can do it on the fly without having to pull out a book this thick. And that's, if you're lucky, doesn't include the Apocrypha or something of that nature. While most of my fellow clergy went to an Episcopalian or an Anglican seminary or something of that nature, I went to one that was predominantly Baptist and Pentecostal. So I'm going to bring a little bit of that here in case y'all haven't already noticed it all throughout the years that I've been here. And I want to do an experiment with y'all today. I see some of y'all are far apart, but it's okay. If you got to yell to the people across from y'all, four rows, social distanced away from y'all, whatever the case may be, you do it. Okay, can we do that? I want you to turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Go ahead. Turn. I want y'all to think about it. Make that turn. Oh, whoever you can turn and say, neighbor, I love you because God loves me. All right, we're going to try that again because I'm not feeling it, you know. I want you to turn to another neighbor if you can because, you know, maybe that person got you feeling funny. And this time, let's do it with a little bit more feeling. Neighbor, I love you because God loves me. I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit more. I heard it. She had to yell from up there, but I felt it. See, trust me, you'll eventually realize that it's not something that you have to be a... Oh, I felt it. We love you, Tanya, because God loves us. This I know because the Bible told me so. Remember, it's not hidden. And I'm sure that Ingrid taught it during Sunday school. Yeah. Don't ask me to sing it for you. I'm still working on it. It's something you'll realize that it's not something that you have to be afraid to say to somebody. It might have felt a little funny saying that, you know, to your neighbor. But you know, trust me, I know what you're saying. It's because we tend to keep our feelings to ourselves. We tend to guard them and only let them out to those we truly trust and those we love. Those in our inner circle. Those are our children, you know, our parents, brother and sister, depending on how they got us feeling that day. When you say that you love someone, I want y'all to mean it. Love does not have to be something sexual. It doesn't have to be erotic. What it has to be is real. It has to be something that makes you feel good without a need to feel that you're going to get some compensation from it. Somebody's going to give you something because you said something. The very act of loving someone and saying that you do should be enough to get you through the trials and tribulations of your day-to-day life. It should give you that warm, fuzzy feeling because it makes you feel that you're just that little bit closer to God. God wants us to feel his love because God is what? God is love. Amen. We were created as a sign of his love. Jesus' death was necessary in order to bring us back into a position to feel that love again, like we once did. I don't want to feel that the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was just done in vain. The scripture tells us the following things about love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. We've all heard this one. If you know it, say it with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. 1 John 4 through chapter 4, verse 8 instructs us that whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Ephesians 4:32 tells us that we must be kind to one another, to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness begins with loving one another and accepting one another, even with all of our faults. It doesn't say forgetting the issue, but being willing to love one another in spite of it. My brothers and sisters, when we find ourselves asking, how can I love someone who probably doesn't love me? We shouldn't have an issue with saying, I love you because God loves me. Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.